Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough, just enough for the city.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the bulk of us are, living just enough for the city. That's Ray Charles with Stevie Wonder's Living for the City. This is Lead Stories, and I'm Eutrice Lead. It's Thursday, September the 20th, and Mitt Romney finds himself struggling to recover from yet another of a growing list of gaffes he has made. And this one's a biggie. Tim Pawlenty, Romney's campaign co-chair, announced today that he has quit the campaign to become one of Wall Street's top lobbyists in Washington. Pawlenty will be the CEO of the Financial Services Roundtable, a lobbying juggernaut that represents the top 100 banking, insurance, investment, and financial services companies in the country. Romney is being all nice and polite and gentlemanly about it, but there's no denying the fact that Pawlenty is and has abandoned ship, saying he's done good things for the campaign. Romney can't afford to admit publicly that he's suffered a major body blow, but in fact he has. Pawlenty, a former governor of Minnesota, had hopes of being Romney's vice presidential teammate. Clearly, he did not appreciate being passed over for Congressman Paul Ryan, and it was the second time Pawlenty's vice presidential hopes were dashed in 2008, although he was heavily favored for the John McCain campaign to have him as the vice presidential running mate. Instead, Kane chose the wonderful Sarah Palin. By the way, I wonder what Pawlenty will do as his first task as CEO of the Roundtable, considering that one of the clients of the Roundtable, the Bank of America, is set to cut 16,000 jobs by the end of the year. And you know, when you see these kinds of things happening, this is just an example of how closed the system is and why it is a legitimate criticism that government is so corrupt. It is just so in your face that these folks function at a level where the average person has nothing, no way, no how to actually compel the system and the people within it to behave differently. You go to Congress, you land yourself a wonderful committee, just like Steve Bartlett, who Pawlenty is replacing on the roundtable as president and CEO. You know, Bartlett, for example, was a mayor of Dallas. He was a member of Congress and chaired, guess what? The House Banking Committee, which, of course, is now the House Financial Services Committee. And then after you quit Congress and you make all these strategic alliances and connections, and, of course, all the while that you're there, being susceptible, of course, to influence by these industries, once you quit and you've amassed a network, a vast network of connections, strategic connections that would serve specific interests very well, you now monetize your experience and you become a lobbyist. You go back to the people that you knew and you draw on the connections that you made and you make a killing for the institutions that should be regulated. You should absolutely be. For example, these banks that were bailed out, and, you know, some of them were joining and conglomerating their assets and so forth, and the Obama administration was extremely generous to these banks. And yet, they still have not fulfilled the mandates. They still are not reinvesting in the communities. They still are not really assisting in alleviating the horrific incidents of foreclosures in this country. And in some cases, just blatantly violating the law. And you think the administration would take a hard line and say, well, listen, you know, you've been the beneficiary of the largesse of government, and this is what you do. We will shut you down. We will withdraw your credentials, your accreditation as a banking institution. We would liquidate your assets and show some resolve. Nah, that doesn't happen. Because institutions like this, and they're very quiet there on Wall Street, in lovely, sumptuous offices with phones that are modulated so they don't disturb the office. And in that quiet, billions and trillions of dollars outside of the influence of the average person are moved around and made to do all kinds of things that they want to do, and which is, of course, at the very heart, the very core of how this country functions. So it's an interesting thing. Now, it is looked upon as, well, you know, this is a political development. It's political season. It's a presidential campaign. And, you know, it's about Romney suffering, you know, another strategic blow. But this is very serious. And we always have to look at these things and connect the dots. Because, of course, major people would not be connecting the dots for us. So we have to develop the ability always to look behind what is presented. There's always another story. There's a story behind the story every single time. Now, I have to tell you today, as I did yesterday, that today will be an open forum day. We haven't had very much chance because we were listening a lot to our guests. They had a lot to say and share with us, which I think was valuable information. And we didn't get that many phone calls and that much interaction in the past several days. So today, we would dedicate it to a forum. You would call in at 1-888-874-4888, 1-888-874-4888, and we begin this discussion. This is going to be a recurring feature here because the benefit, I think, is not just to get the ideas and internalize the ideas, but to begin to share them as considered opinions. And by that I mean, you know, it's not just yammering. It's not just talking for talking's sake. We want to appreciate the depth of investment that you have made in the ideas that you are introducing to the listening audience for consideration. And certainly I'd be asking questions just to get a deeper understanding of what it is you have to say. But the idea is to encourage an exchange of information, opinions, and ideas. So if you're up to it, let's go. 1-888-874-4888. Right at the top of the program also, I want to thank you again for your interest in this program, and I would like you to pass the word on. Let other people know that this is where you come for your daily diet of information, not just this program, but this PRN.FM. It's a really important alternative to what is out there posing as information, and it gives you a very different view, which, of course, you're free to either accept or just, you know, throw it away. But my guess is that you would accept more than you throw away. Okay, so today, open forum. Let's hear your ideas in this political season, the things that are of importance to you, significance to you, things that you think people may want to know, ideas that you have that you would like to share. And again, we're not looking for, a bully pulpit or pontification. We're looking for conversation and dialogue. So let's talk to each other, not at each other. 1-888-874-4888. We begin that process right after this little break.
His father works some days for 14 hours, and you can bet he barely makes a dollar. His mother goes
to scrub the floors for Minnie. And you better believe she hardly gets a penny. Living just enough. Just enough for the sick dad.
Again, Ray Charles. This is Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Utrice Lead, and it is open forum. What are your ideas? I've talked since I've gotten here about the need to articulate a credible and cogent defense. The so-called left, or the liberal group, or progressives, even radicals, people who are not of the mainstream, essentially, continually think, I mean, it is enough simply to say, I'm opposed. Okay, so you're opposed. I'm opposed to this. I don't like that. We are against the other. Fine. What is the counter to it? It's not enough to say you're against something. What is the something that you're for? What is it? What is your theory? What is it that you are advancing as a healthy alternative to whatever exists that you say you are against? And what informs that? See, this is where the opposition has always been at the weakest. And especially in recent years, the idea seems to have been that it is enough simply to say you are opposed. And that is where it stops. You make a big noise, you're opposed. Well, okay, we get that. We get it, you're opposed. What is it that you're for? And that's what I want to know. Here's the forum. Tell us what it is you're for. And tell us what informs it. And let's start looking at the validity of your ideas. The solid kernels that you're presenting. What is it that you think will work? Now, this does not mean that you are to be an expert on of any sort. We're not expecting that. That's not the issue. The issue is to get moving in a direction out of the traditional opposition mode, where we get stymied and constipated about the idea that it is enough simply to say we don't like this or we're opposed to that. It cannot work anymore. That's out. That's done. It's finished. And if that's all that we have, if that's all that people can come up with to say that I am opposed to this without saying not only why, which is good, but what is your counter plan? You're responsible for one. If, in fact, you consider yourself part of this movement away from what you say has been systemically wrong. And this has been the historic failure of the left of center politics. Their plans do not seem to have a solid direction, and it is more about mounting the defense simply to say, we are not for so-and-so. In this season, in this time that we're in, all the more important that we move beyond that point. So I'm calling your bluff today. Here it is. I'm challenging you directly. I am challenging you directly. Who is going to be the first one up to say, this is what I believe, this is what I am putting forward as a workable idea, a workable plan, and something that gets us moving in the right direction? It is immaterial whether people agree or disagree with you. It is important that you present evidence that you have given thought to the thing or things that you say you are against, and you also have given thought to what might be a possible solution. Now, I'm calling your bluff. I'm calling your bluff. 1-888-874-4888. I want to hear what it is you've got to say, and be prepared. Jay from Queens, I'm calling your bluff.
Good afternoon, Jay.
Good afternoon, Jay.
Yeah, well, I've got a plan. I think it's interesting that you challenge those who per se think of themselves as left or progressive. So I'm going to try to outline something very concisely as I can on the fly. Here, one, an economy an economy which takes in consideration exchanges in the market that help to better people's lives and provide goods and services, but take into consideration the impact on Mother Earth. That takes in consideration the possibility that there is a limit to growth and that there are not externalities to what they call, you know, what is called externality of the devastation of the planet. The oil pollution as an externality, but a real factor in the cost of production. That is one. So no matter who does it, we as a people, through the governed, mechanisms of market and through state, agree that these are the things that matter, that whatever we do, whatever we produce, must be life-sustaining, not only for human species, of the planet itself is a bigger macro issue. Thereon, excuse me, then to address from there, what are the things that we as an earthly species need that go beyond a nation state? Because I think those have limits, and I'm not suggesting a globalism of a government or the governed, but that we have a rational consensus about moving forward as a sentient being. Happen to believe. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I can expound, but go ahead.
All right. Jay, I want to guide you in a particular direction here.
Sure.
And that is, I see where you're going with this point. But again, this too, and, you know, I'm being very respectful here because this is the only way to converse.
Mm-hmm.
I see it as what it mirrors the thinking process, in a way, of what is. And that is, you know, just like the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, they have a platform, and the platform is made up of different planks. Your plank, which has to do with ecology, is a plank. I see it as a plank in the larger picture. What I'm asking about today is not the plank, not the component part, but the big picture. You see what I'm saying? What is the system that you're against that you have something of a solution for?
Well, without having to say what I was against, I told you what I was for. Now I'll tell you why I make that argument is that
you scored a point. You scored a point. Okay.
the reason that is the objective. That's our ultimate mission. Clarity of where we need to go. I called the other day and talked about the concern about us obfuscating or dealing with issues that obfuscate the bigger picture of whether it's race or what have you. But if we're addressing the needs of the poor and we say we genuinely care about the poor, then anyone who moves away from that objective, it's not genuine. And we need to have a discussion about what we're trying to do, whether because of some tribal issue or race or what have you, or nation state concern. We say we care about the poor. That's our objective. And no matter where we find that, we will address it in a genuine fashion, garnering resources to alleviate the symptoms of poverty and to possibly alleviate poverty as a whole. But, you know, there are micro issues of which we can technically go at and so forth, whether it be in the political arena of eliminating the financial oligarchy and their control and infusion of big money into this political system. That's one of those micro objectives. But the bigger picture is not just that that's a mechanism, but what are we trying to achieve? We want government to work for the governed. And so if we do, then these kind of things that deteriorate that mission or that objective are something we need to be mindful of. I think we need more rational thinking and a broader intent that kind of moves away from our traditional camps.
All right, but you went right back into the same garage. You tell us what you think would happen. I'm asking,
yeah,
the big picture, but you did get us started. You get great credit today, Jay, for getting us
started. I'll call you another time and elaborate on that. I have a lot more to say on that point.
Thank you so much for calling today and getting us started in that direction. John from Brooklyn, I am challenging you. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I think people have to get together on the local level and pool their resources.
All right. Be good about what the theory is. I want you to, A, identify the systemic problem for which you have a workable solution.
The systemic problem is the politicians don't care about us. They care about, whoever they're working for, whoever contributes money to them. And they've abandoned us. So we have to abandon we have to be able to function without government. We have to develop systems where people develop their own resources on a local level that they don't need the government.
Now, when you say they have abandoned us, are you excusing the us? It seems to me that
no, we're not
are laying the blame on the politicians.
We don't have a system to actually get them out of office.
Okay, what's your system?
Well, one thing, we need ballot access. We don't have ballot access at the moment. We need a party line where people can actually run and defeat the major party candidates, because the major parties have pretty much abandoned us. And they're really out for the money. They're out for themselves. And it's completely corrupt. And the idea is to organize locally so people pool their own resources. They can actually hold the representatives responsible. We can get together and go to these local politicians, whoever the party is, and say, we're watching you. And if we have to have a serious threat of unseating them. If we don't have that serious threat of unseating them, then it doesn't make any sense. So we have to organize first, get some sort of way of getting on the ballot, and so we have our own candidates who can defeat them.
Okay.
Also, we have to get resources together, because there's going to be a lot of economic things on the local level that has to be taken care of, and the political systems don't seem to want to be dealing with those economic issues. So we have to get together resources where people can actually share their resources and sort of survive, because in the coming few years it's going to be very difficult, especially with the economic horizon looking very poor.
So, John, are you saying that part of your solution is, to the extent that one can work within the system, corrupt as it is, and as alienated as it is from the desires and the concerns and the needs of the people, but as a practical matter, we have to be prepared to work to the extent that we can within the system now, but also develop something of a parallel structure or an alternative structure?
Yes, we have to have an alternative structure, because there's going to be problems of resources, of getting food, getting housing, whatever. Those are the two main things, for survival. And a lot of people that are homeless people that can't find work. We have to find alternative ways of providing work for these people, and, maybe develop some sort of enterprises where people can, build structures, and so we can support each other, because the times are going to get very hard, and we need to have some sort of local structure where we can actually get together and work together. Because, for instance, Gary Knoll has this big thing about the grid going down, and I've been speaking to these politicians, and they don't have a clue about what to do with it. I speak to emergency management. They don't seem to be concerned that the grid might disappear. And what happened if the grid disappears? And if we have local structures where people support each other, we may be able to survive it. But if we don't have that structure, we don't have a chance.
Well, thank you, John. Thanks for your contribution today. 1-888-874-4888. The whole theme is, it's open to you, open mic, to talk about moving away from saying only what we are against. What is the problem? We see any number of clues. We've experienced any number of hardships brought about by the system as it exists. Okay, so we're clear. People are opposed. What are you for? I mean, specifically, what are you for in the big scheme of things? We know that there are component parts, just like, as I said, any political party, and we just saw evidence of it in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party's conventions, where they have these subtexts to the larger picture. I'm interested in the larger picture, how you see the larger picture, and what is a healthy, workable alternative, and what informs your views about that. 1-888-874-4888. You know, we have to get pretty aggressive about this idea, because it's a form of accountability, too. It's a form of responsibility, too. The responsibility to contribute to these ideas that form the thinking or philosophy of a healthy and productive resistance. But invariably, when you talk to folks left of center, even right of center, and you ask them, okay, what is your plan? What is your version of a workable plan? You hear Twitters, you know, sounds in a desert night. There's nothing happening. All we know is what we hate, what we don't like, what we're against, what we want to fight for, what we want to fight against. We have very little clues in a scientific, systematic, articulated way as to what it is that you want. Here you go. The challenge is here. The mic is open. Let's hear what you have to say. Put it out there and defend it. 1-888-874-4888. A short break. We'll be right back.
Sometimes, yeah. Oh,
I can't stop calling you.
No, no, it's useless to say. So I'll just live my life. Dreams of yesterday.
Of course, you know, I'm kind of partial to Ray Charles. I think the whole world is. We're back here on Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. We have Pete from Kingston. What do you have to say, Pete?
Yeah, hi, Eutrice. I'm just so glad you have this topic. I was sort of raised on Pacifica and had 30, 40 years of what's wrong. And then I had a great teacher in permaculture, Jeff Lawton, and he's all about solutions. And that's where I've gone. So one very practical, relatively simple solution is to relocalize local sustainable self-reliant communities. And one piece of that is making fuel from food waste. We have so much food waste, it's about a third of the waste stream, which costs money and greenhouse gases to transport to a landfill. You can take that waste and make ethanol and or butanol, which you can put in your engines, you can heat your home, and you can cook with. For example, a pickup load of discarded Dunkin' Donuts, God knows how many there are of them, will make 100 gallons of ethanol. So to me, that's one piece.
The All right, but when you say, Pete, if you don't mind, when you say relocalize, I gather by inference that you're saying that the structure as organized is not or does not encourage localized activity, or is it the people who do not encourage localized activity?
Yeah, good point. I think it's a combination. You know, I'm a fan of Amory Lovins and the Rocky Mountain Institute. And through that, I'm not a big fan, not that, you know, I'm glad we have the Army and the Armed Forces to protect us. I'm not a big fan of war. I tend to be a pacifist. However, the Joint Chiefs of Staff said the United States is indefensible because of the centralized grid. And the Department of Defense Joint Chiefs of Staff said we need to relocalize, in other words, local energy. And I don't want to get into the whole thing, but from the Army standpoint of the armed forces, it makes so much sense strategically if they can produce their own fuel. The Army, with Purdue University, invented a machine that they can trailer with them that will make ethanol out of the food scraps and biodiesel out of plastic and other things. I have not been able to get a hold of this. This was in 2007. So these technologies are relatively simple and sort of the low-hanging fruit, and I just don't understand why it is not happening. And to more directly respond to your question, I think it's a combination of things. You know, I'm very upset about the way the United States and the world has gone, and I also acknowledge nobody's hands are clean. We've all participated some way or another in creating this monster. And to me, the way out is to take back our, take care of ourselves more locally. The more we can take care of ourselves locally, the less relevant all that other BS becomes.
Well, I mean, it's a good idea theoretically, but I have to challenge you now. When you say this, and I think I see the merit of your argument in that people becoming more self-sufficient is itself a solution to the overarching government. However, in this model that you're proposing, what therefore will would you call that? It's not capitalism, it's not social, what is it?
Well, I don't know if we have to label it like that, but I personally, if you're asking, I believe in capitalism. Capitalism as I grew up with, which had checks and balances on it, I become concerned when capitalism per se becomes the enemy. It's capitalism out of control, like anything else can be abused. So I kind of believe in capitalism. I would have a for-profit company. Now in New York State we have a B Corp, which is a for-benefit company. So if this became a company making ethanol from food waste for the community, it would pay a living family wage. It would obviously biofuels to make and use are good for the environment. And we give back to the community, reducing stress for people in fueling their automobiles, heating their homes. I mean, the cumulative effect.
So do you see, Pete, a need to identify whatever the philosophy is that would inform this particular way of self-governance? Is it irrelevant, or is it? Would you now invent a name for it? What would you call it?
Local self-reliance.
Local self-reliance. Okay.
Or
so
In
other words, you identified a problem.
Okay.
And now you say your form of, quote, government, unquote, for lack of a better term that we have, you are proposing local self-reliance.
But it's not a form of government.
Well, is it not? Because when I say government, we have to understand what government is. Government is a system of social controls. That doesn't mean that it makes it bad in foreboding. We all have to have some kind of system in which we agree as a society, whatever that society is, to govern and be governed.
Okay,
so I'm thinking conceptually, that is what you're describing. You're describing self-governance, local self-governance.
Okay.
I mean, no, I'm asking.
Another example of this is transition towns, already set up. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but they are working with communities countrywide, worldwide, to have a response for economic downturn, peak oil, and climate change. Government is not responding, so transition towns locally has all these local and even state organizations to organize us to take care of it. Because
all right.
Government
well,
is
you
not
have
governing.
Put something
our
in the
existing
pot here.
Government is not leading.
You put something in the pot, and we'll see how people react to it. Thank you so much, Pete, from Kingston, for joining us today. Chris from Queens. You're the second person from Queens.
Hi, good afternoon.
Thank you.
I would like to talk about, you mentioned earlier, I tuned in a little late, you mentioned earlier about the fact that the big banks were bailed out and they basically gave nothing back in return, which I totally agree with. I think that the expectation that these big so-called investment bankers would have been so generous as to give something back under the terms that they were so, you know, so supposedly bailed out is really naive.
No, I didn't believe, I never said for 1 minute that they were supposed to. I'm saying what I cited was that the government did not take requisite action. And the government should have dismantled the banks, liquidated their assets, and indicated that it was serious, that this amount of this heavy bailout required them to observe the terms. But the administration did not do it.
And I totally agree with you, and that takes me to the next point. And the next point is that it wasn't going to be done because these, you know, for example, if we had a Congress who really functioned independently on its own and they were really honest, because at this point in time, I think, you know, I totally agree with what you're saying, that the system is so corrupt at such a deep level that it's almost impossible for regular people, as you mentioned earlier, to really I'm not sure we know where to begin because we don't have access to the big beast that is operating today.
Yeah, but we heard a couple of examples just before you came on. We just had Pete from Kingston. We had other callers. We had, let's see, on my list here, we had Jay from Queens. Put
and
some
they were,
ideas
and they were
out
very
there.
Good.
I'm interested. Okay, what you're telling us, We have been discussing, let's just say, we've been discussing this for quite a while, the non-responsiveness of the established government. And it doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat or whatever. There is a permanent government, irrespective of the political parties that occupy the White House. What we're looking for is, what is it that you identify as a solution to the overarching system of government? What is it? What is it going to look like?
Okay.
Was it?
The solution that I would first attempt would be that, and this is going to sound like a cliche, but I'll try to make my point very briefly. First of all, in order to feel that you're functioning with any society, in our society specifically, the extreme amounts of money, okay, that are poured into the system that we now have, most of us do not have access to, which means that we are automatically excluded from even submitting any kind of solution to the problem that is existing here, okay? Now, I understand I might be repeating myself, and I some of the previous callers made some very good points. I think a lot of this local self-governance that the previous caller was talking about and the other ones are very, they're right on the point. I think local government is very important. I think the part of the citizen in this country, the citizens of this country, have a huge role to play. I think it could be done. I think that we could start to change the system if people knew that they would have to give something up. Okay, now don't ask me to tell you what that is. It is that people need to put themselves, on the line in some way. To give a you know, maybe insignificant example at this point, I mean, in the 60s, when people were protesting in the streets against the Vietnam War and all of these students, they put themselves on the line, okay? I mean, they did that. They needed to do that. Now, I'm not advocating violence or anything. I'm just saying that I think our society has reached a point because of the prosperity and because of so many different things, all right, that I'm not sure that people have the wherewithal to really go out of their way and say, you know what, I need to do this outside of the comfort of my convenience. You understand what I'm saying?
But I'm looking for a solution, Chris. You're giving me an analysis
of the
problem.
I'll tell you.
Give me the solution.
Okay, you had a guest on a couple of days ago, Professor Randall, I believe her name was.
Yes.
And I totally agreed with what she said. I think she was brilliant, by the way. Okay? And I'll tell you why. This is my point about deciding to go a different route. I know that people get caught up on parties when this issue comes up. She was saying that at what point do you decide to make a decision to move in a different direction, if not now, okay? I totally agree with her. I was listening to somebody yesterday, I don't know who it was, it was a discussion, and they were talking about, well, you know, talking about the nonsense of Romney and all of this other really stuff that gets put out there, like you said, like a cheap Hollywood movie that people get caught up on and that are really insignificant. The point is that, you know what, if you live in a country that has totally betrayed you to the degree that we have been betrayed, you need to say, you know what, I'm not going to support this any longer. And if it means that I have to subtract my vote and give it to someone else, even though I know that I'm not going to win the gold medal this year, if you consider that if millions of people did this, okay, millions of people did this and decided, you know what, I'm going to believe in my vote enough that I consider myself important enough as a citizen to say, I don't accept what you're doing because it's totally fraudulent and corrupt. And you, for example, decided to vote for another party, okay, and the results were obviously after the election was over, it would be seen. Now, it might not bring any immediate results, but the point is that the message would be delivered in the same way that, for example, if people decided, you know what, I'm going to rip up my Bank of America credit card. I know it's almost impossible to do in this economy that we have because everyone lives on credit today because it was created that way. You can't just pay cash anymore because people don't have the cash. But if people decided, for example, you know what, I'm not going to support these big banks. Just think of it in the millions of people, all right? They would lose
Chris,
a lot of...
I mean, your points are very well taken, but just the same, you are outlining what I would consider strategies. I'm looking for solutions. These are strategies, and they're great. And they've been on the table, and you are dead on about what these things, these actions can have very serious ripple effects in favor of overall empowerment. But just the same, they are strategies. We're looking for a systemic response, and that's where we need to go. But you've been brilliant in your discussion today.
Well,
I want to thank
you very much for the time.
And I want you also to continue to listen and continue to contribute, because we'll be having these open forums very often. Thanks so much for being with us today. Dave, if you can kind of be as concise as you possibly can, you can get in on the conversation because we're close to the end of the program.
Well, I'll try.
Thank you for joining us, by the way. Bad manners on my part.
All the callers have had very great ideas, and so I just want to, I'll try and briefly go through my ideas. You know, here in what you like to call the People's Republic of Brooklyn, we have a whole alternative economy forming of food co-ops and in the state in general of local farms, organic farms, and And there were also worker co-ops forming. So in terms of what I thought was meant by a solution was that that we have a lot of that going on, and that's a direction Pete took a lot of that thunder from me. But anyway, now in terms of the solution that you seem to be asking for, I'm not exactly sure what it is, but you know, I think you're talking about the really broad outlines, capitalism or socialism or something else.
However we choose, I'm looking for the big picture first, and then we get, you know, we look at the component parts of it. But we are clear, I think, people have a general sense of how they categorize the system. You know, they use all kinds of terms, but we're clear. But we're not so clear about what the alternative political system is that we're thinking of. And
right,
I'm interested
right.
in people's ideas on that.
Right. Now, socialism is definitely an alternative for capitalism. Pete was right that capitalism itself has been betrayed, but who knows if that's an inevitable aspect of capitalism.
I don't know any place, really, that is socialist in the sense that socialism is meant to be. I mean, when I say socialism, I want us to move away from the actual label, it labels itself, because no form of no form of government is actually practiced the way it theoretically is outlined.
Correct.
In the world. So we want to get a sense of what it would look like and feel like rather than assign labels to it.
Okay, well, in terms of socialism, you have Marxism, which is basically central planning, and there have been very good arguments made against that model of socialism, but that's not the only model. And then prior to Marx was a whole series of socialist thinkers who expounded this thing that's going on.
Prior to Marx and prior to Engels, prior to all these folks, there were people who were doing very, very good stuff in self-governance all over the world. So it befuddles me, continues to befuddle me, that when we talk a political theory, we have these icons who pop up and serve as a political icons, and their theories still are riddled with all kinds of pitfalls. And we've never said that. We never looked at these things. We'll do that on this program in coming weeks. But what we're looking for, and we will continue this conversation, Dave, it's unfortunate that we didn't have enough time for you to complete it, but I'm certainly going to encourage you to call again and give you the space that you need to fully expound on your idea. But thank you for joining us today. Thank you all for joining. The thing is, this is what we are going to do a lot of on this program. We're going to encourage the presentation of ideas, because they all have legitimacy. The thing is to concentrate on the solution and to examine for internal contradictions. That's one of the things that the left has never done, really competently, if ever. So it's guilty of that charge. That's my verdict right on that charge. They are absolutely guilty. I want to thank you so much for being with me today. I encourage you to come back tomorrow. Tell your friends and let's grow this family. Stay tuned. Mike Fader with Occupied Territory is next. And we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening.
My heart is beating so, anyone could tell. You think you know me well, but you don't know me.